Thank you guys for that. Thanks for inviting me one last time to finish out. Really grateful for that. The topic, men connecting with other men, we've kind of been hitting that really throughout the weekend, I know, and I want to finish with some few thoughts on that. A little different to get it started, though. I want to talk about my wife and how she loves connecting with other women. It's the greatest thing in the world for her to go get coffee with somebody and spend all day talking to them. She loves things like this, except women's conferences. Doesn't matter what the content is, doesn't matter what the purpose is. If it's a women's conference, she loves to be there. She gets really excited about like girls' night, going, you know, and sitting. And this happens all the time. I'll ask her, "Hey, how was it?" "Oh, it was great." "Well, what did you guys do? What fun stuff did you girls go do?" "Oh, well, we sat and talked for 4 hours. And it was a good night." "Oh, it was the best. I can't wait till we go do it again." I'm like, man, if I have to sit and talk for 5 minutes with somebody else, I start twitching a little bit. But yet she loves face-to-face contact and face-to-face conversation. She can do it for all hours of the night. Now, don't get me wrong, I like guys' night. Matter of fact, I have guys' night every single week. It just revolves around battling it out on the basketball court and pounding with each other and conjuring up old skills that we used to have. Conjuring up more old injuries that we used to have. I'm not sitting down over coffee doing book clubs with other guys sharing feelings. But when I get together, it's for a purpose. We're going to go play basketball. We're gonna go battle it out, and I'm gonna try to beat you, and that's my purpose. And we're gonna come around that purpose. We're gonna come around that mission, and we're gonna sweat together. We're gonna high five together. We're gonna have community, but it's around a mission. It's around a purpose. Unlike my wife, who can just talk and have community, it doesn't matter what the purpose seems to be. When dudes get together, it needs to be around a purpose. You got to have something to do. That's why I loved hearing y'all are about to get together and go skeet shooting. We need guns in our hands. We need to kill something, preferably. We need to. That's the type of activity that we need to find community around, because it's for a purpose. It's for a mission. It's why gatherings like this, as good as they are and as awesome as this has been, it's hard to get a bunch of guys to get together for, you know, a weekend without doing something. That's why, though, I think we're finishing around 3:30 in time to catch the Georgia Tech-Clemson game as a warm-up for the Arkansas-Alabama game tonight. But if this were a Beth Moore conference, man, we'd be going into midnight talking and crying and sharing feelings and all sorts of stuff. This isn't lost on God. Those two differences between, generally speaking, men and women, it's not lost. It's lost on the church, but it is not lost on God in how He has wired us. God designed, we talked about this last night, He designed us to be on mission, have a purpose to do something, not sit around and cry with each other. Think about the original man, what he called him to do. Adam, go explore. Go climb mountains. Go look at the different waterfalls that I created. Go find those out. Go throughout this rugged terrain and just enjoy this creation. He gave him a mission to do. He didn't just put him in front of Eve and say, "Y'all talk with each other a lot." He said, "Man, go guard my garden. Cultivate my, protect my garden." He gave him a mission and a purpose for his existence. And we wonder why it's tough to get men to come to Sunday school. I'm not saying we shouldn't. At the end, I'll show you something that I think will get us there. But God designed us, again, to be on mission. But I would add for my second talk, and to be on mission together. And I think what we're going to see is we're going to find community when we find our mission. When we find our purpose, community is going to be natural. Maybe not face-to-face like women. Not that it's bad, but I think guys connect better shoulder-to-shoulder. You give us something to go do. You give us a hill to go charge. You give us fishing. Heard that earlier. Just take some dudes fishing. When we stand and do something side by side, we're going to connect in ways that I think we haven't thought about. And it's going to be natural. That's the thing with community. It doesn't have to be abnormal. I think the church world says, no, you got to get together, do a book club with each other and get some tea and sit around. Well, dudes aren't going to do that, and that's okay. But you asked me to go fishing. You asked me to go play golf. You asked me to go shoot something. I'll do that with you. And then while I'm with you, tell me more about Christ. Tell me more about how to have a healthy marriage. Tell me more about how to fight for purity. Tell me more about your mission and your purpose. And we're going to have an incredible time together. Just think with me for a minute about the community men naturally experience when they are on mission together. Don't think Christian here. Just think mission, think purpose. Think when men have something to do, how they naturally form community. Think about it in these terms. You don't have to tell a football team how to do community. All you have to do is slap some pads on a bunch of men, put a 300-pound lineman in front of you. You're going to be relying on the guy next to you in ways that you have never relied on him before. You're going to shed tears, probably because that 300-pound lineman's going to be on top of you. But, I mean, you're going to cry with your teammates. You're going to high-five your teammates. You're going to be in the game because there's a purpose. There's a mission when it comes to football. But what happens on the field inside of that mission and inside of that purpose is the type of community we Christians want guys to have. But we want them to have it outside of that mission and outside of that purpose. And it's just not working that well. We want men to have a sense of brotherhood and community where tears are shed, where intimacy is gained, where closeness happens. But we want it to be done outside and void of this grand mission that we're called to. And what happens on the field is different than what happens off the field. There are different rules of engagement between dudes on the field and off the field. For example, do not give me a good game on the way out this afternoon. That's only acceptable on the court or on the football field. You know what I mean by a good game. I'm talking about a little slap on the rear. Yeah. Don't do that to me on the way out. On the football field, well, all right, that's acceptable behavior inside of the mission. When you're in line at the grocery store, you're not in a huddle. So don't grab the dude's hand beside you and hold on to it. But inside the huddle, that's acceptable, right? When a guy bends over, do not put your hands in his crotch and say, blue 42. On the field, that's okay, but off the field, the rules are different when you're not in the mission. When you're not in the game, the rules are a little different. I was running this race thing called a Tough Mudder, and it was a couple years ago. It was up at Wintergreen, running up and down the slopes off season. It was this race, hardcore thing. I don't know. It was hardest thing, is the dumbest thing I'd ever done too. But about three-fourths of the way through the race, I'm running with a bunch of other dudes because that's what we do. We come up with stupid stuff to do just to get together and be on mission together. And the more painful it is, the tighter the community is. But I'm not too ashamed to admit that about three-quarters of the way through, my leg seized up. And I laid out on the ground. I couldn't even bend over to stretch them out. And I had to have a dude give me a thigh massage to loosen them up. That's barely acceptable, but it was inside of the mission. It was inside of the race. I wouldn't ever think of doing that outside of a situation like that. In a non-joking way, think about the community developed among men, among our servicemen and when they're in the battle, you think about the community that's developed. You don't have to tell people that have bullets flying at them to rely on the next guy. You don't have to tell them when bullets are flying. You don't have to tell the other guy, if I get hit, please pick me up and carry me to safety. You don't have to tell, because that's natural. We do that inside of the mission. Although these guys that have that community inside a wartime, that they have a deep sense of community, when they go home, those connections remain the same, but it's still different rules outside of the mission, outside of the game. Church is missing it in the sense that we blame men for not being more involved, but we're trying to get community with men without giving them a big mission, without giving them a big purpose, without giving them a fight to fight, without giving them shoulder to shoulder responsibilities inside the mission of the church. We'd rather just blame them for not showing up. We want community without the mission. We want to call men up, not to a higher sense of community, not to more book clubs, but to open men's eyes to the mission. And the more you and I have our eyes open to God's mission for our lives, God's purpose for our lives, God's fight for our lives, for our purity, for our marriages, for our family, the more you open my eyes to life being a fight and that kind of a high purpose and that kind of a high calling, then I'm going to stand shoulder to shoulder with other brothers in that same fight. And we're going to have community as long as you give me the mission. Don't expect community if you don't give me the mission. Men will have community when we're given a big mission. No man on mission ever more than Christ himself. And what's the very first thing he did to start his ministry on earth? He gathered a group of men around him to carry the mission, to carry out the mission. Paul was a man heaven bent on fulfilling the mission God had given him, on the mission that God had called him. Tell me a time, search the scriptures in your minds really quick. How many times do you ever see Paul alone? Never. Even when he was an unbeliever and he was on his way to Damascus to destroy the church, he had dudes around him. Because that was his mission. Doesn't matter, lost or saved, you give men a mission, they're going to form community. So Paul himself was never alone. Mission forms community, even if it's the wrong mission. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to read this. You're probably going to think this is the biggest waste of a chapter. Chapter 4, starting in verse 7, where most of us think the whole book could be done with. Chapter 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. Tychus, our dearly loved brother, faithful servant, fellow slave in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are, so that he may encourage your hearts. He's with Onesimus, a faithful and dearly loved brother who is one of you. They will tell you everything here. Aristarchus, I'm sure I'm glad that New Testament doctor professor is not here to correct my pronunciation of these names. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, as does Mark, Barnabas's cousin, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And so does Jesus, who is called Justice. These alone of the circumcision are my co-workers for the kingdom of God, for they have been a comfort to me. Araphas, who is one of you, a slave of Christ Jesus, he greets you. He is always contending for you in his prayers so that you can stand mature and fully assured in everything that God wills. For I testify about him that he works hard for you, for those in Laodicea, for those in Hierapolis. Luke, the dearly loved physician, and Demas greet you. Give my greetings to the brothers in Laodicea and to Nympha and to the church in her home. When this letter has been read among you, have it read to the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And tell Archippus, pay attention to the ministry you have received in the Lord so that you can accomplish it. This greeting is from my own hand, Paul. Remember my imprisonment, grace to you. Bunch of names. Who cares about a bunch? We were not told hardly anything that was profitable. accept everything about Paul's life. Paul did the mission with other men. And there's a couple other women in here, but the point is that he had community because he had a mission. And he devoted, of these four chapters, I count it, there's 96 verses in Colossians. Almost a tenth of them are devoted to just naming off some of his friends, some of his men that he stood shoulder to shoulder. Do you think the Apostle Paul, of what you know of him, would waste any ink? And yet he thought a tenth of this letter ought to be to those men and a few women who are in the mission with him. Not only do you think Paul, do you think he would waste ink, do you think God the Holy Spirit would waste a single letter of the Holy Scripture for something that wasn't profitable? No. In case you were about to answer yes. No. We have this whole chapter devoted to that. Romans 16, this great theological treatise, goes through the Romans, and he devotes the entire last chapter to giving shout-outs to those in his community, and those in his community are formed because he was a man on mission. Name after name. I know in the Old Testament, the names and the genealogies are more important than just this one point. They serve a greater purpose. But at least they tell us that God's mission always has a people standing shoulder to shoulder with one another doing the mission together. Think about how much ink is spilled throughout the Scriptures just naming different people's names that are with other people. It seems like it's a waste, but it's not. It's a picture for you and I that we are not to do the mission alone. And that if we're really engaged in God's purpose for our life and God's purpose for this church, we're going to do it with other guys. You're not going to have to tell other guys how to do community. You're just going to give them this mission and give them this purpose and tell them which hill to go conquer, and they're going to line up shoulder to shoulder and they're going to go do it. It's not so much community that we're missing, it's mission, I think, that we're missing. Let's look into this community on mission. Look at Acts 20. It's a great passage. It's a passage about Paul's, one of his band of brothers. Acts 20, Paul's making his way literally to the end of his life. Like, he knows he's about to go and be killed. He knows that's the end result from him. And he's there in verse 17. He's with his Ephesian elders, his Ephesian band of brothers. And he's meeting with them for the last time. So you think about this. This is Paul saying, I'm coming to this men's conference and I'm not going to see you guys again. And he has this tearful goodbye within this farewell message to the Ephesian band of brothers. And I just want to peek into what the types of things that they were talking about, this group that's on mission together. Look at Acts 20, verse 17 and on. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church, those men. And when they came to him, he said to them, you know from the first day I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time. Sir, here's the mission. Serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, with trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. And I did not shrink back from proclaiming to you anything that was profitable or from teaching it to you public and from house to house. I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I'm on my way to Jerusalem, bound in my spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in town after town, the Holy Spirit testifies to me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. But I count my life of no value to myself, so that I may finish the course and the ministry, this mission, this purpose that he received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace. And I know now that none of you will ever see my face again. Everyone I went about preaching the kingdom to, Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of everyone's blood. I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole plan of God. Be on guard, you band of brothers. Be on guard for all the flock that the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And men will rise up from your own number with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on the alert. He's continuing to pump mission and purpose into this band of brothers, remembering that night and day, be on the alert. That night and day for 3 years, I didn't stop warning each of you with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the message of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He leaves them with this big mission. But as we peer into what a band of brothers ought to be looking like, what a New Testament band of brothers on mission together, what they ought to be talking about. Here's just a few of the things that this band of brothers, that these brothers had in conversation. Paul said, man, we've been serving the Lord. We've been serving the Lord with humility. And it's okay to cry in the mission. In the mission, the rules, it's okay to shed tears. We ought to be shedding tears about the grand mission that God's called us to, about protecting the church. He said, we've had trials through the Jews. They're trying to kill me. This is dangerous stuff. And the more dangerous it is, the tighter the knit of community among men is going to be. He said, I didn't shrink back. I didn't cower back against anyone. Instead, I charged forward with other men, shoulder to shoulder, with the proclamation of the gospel in public and in homes. Guys, you may not have a public calling on your life to stand and to preach, but you better believe as a man, your mission is to be the pastoral warrior at home. To proclaim the gospel, not publicly like some are called to do, but privately, just like Paul said, in public and in homes, I did this. And he's calling those band of brothers, you guys do the same thing. You think you need other people now? You think you need other men now, knowing that, oh man, I got to proclaim this thing in my home? Like that's kind of outside of my wheelhouse. That's when you start reaching out to others. That's when you start forming community, when you get the mission put out in front of you like Paul did. Paul said, I'm going to go die, but it's okay. I fought well. It's battle terminology. I finished the course. This is what I love about this. When he says, I finished the course, I fulfilled my ministry. He knew what the mission was. The mission of God, guys, is not some ethereal thing that we have to guess at. It's knowable. It's knowable to the extent that Paul said when he was at the end of his life, I fought the good fight. Not perfectly, but with my band of brothers shoulder to shoulder, we did it. It was knowable enough for him to know when he had accomplished it or not. He says, I fought with you guys, alongside of you guys. Look at verse 28. I'm leaving, but you keep fighting for yourselves. There's an enemy that's out to take you out, and you need men around you. Remember that great scene in Forrest Gump? Young, scared Forrest is sitting there. It's one of his first times seeing real battle. And just because the sun goes down doesn't mean the war stops, does it? And he sits beside his friend. He sits back to back and says, you guard that way, I'll guard that way. When you're in the midst of the battle, when you've been given this great grand mission, you need dudes around you to say, man, watch my back. Watch out. I'll watch yours. You watch out for mine. Counseled with a young man 3 nights ago. Just started coming to our church. Said I need to meet with you, Pastor. Met with him. Some of the first words out of his mouth is, a year and a half ago, I cheated on my wife. This young guy, 24, 25. Cheated on my wife. Told me the situation. He said, but for a year and a half, I didn't tell anybody. Not even her. And the reason it came out is because 3 weeks ago, I cheated on her again. And then it came out. She left me. And as I got to hearing his story, you know who's around him during that year and a half? You know what dudes were around him, surrounding him in that year and a half? No one. You look back at his last year and a half, and there's no godly dudes saying, man, what are you doing? Two kids, two babies. No community. You know why he didn't have any community? He didn't have a mission for his life. He didn't have a purpose for it. He didn't have somebody saying the purpose is not for you to go feel good about yourself. The purpose is not for you to go fulfill every little immature desire you have in your heart and in your flesh. That's not the mission for your life. No one was telling him that. So no one was giving him a grand mission. He thought the mission of his life was him to be happy, him to do what he wanted to do. So that led him void of a mission. He was void of community, and now he's probably lost his marriage. He told me, he said, well, I don't know if I want to get back together with her. I said, that's not your decision. You made that decision when you said, I do. If anyone's getting out, it's her. Not you, buddy. You're in this thing. He hasn't had dudes tell him that, though. He's had his whole, if that's how you feel, then no. But the reason he didn't have community is because he didn't have a mission and a purpose and a vision for his life that required community. Paul says, guys, this band of brothers, you fight for the flock. Now, this is bigger than men taking up offering on a Sunday morning. Men, you guys need to be in the game. You guys need to be in the back protecting the flock here at this church. That's on your responsibility. That's on your shoulders, that calling for men to protect the flock here. You've got leaders, but you're called into the game. Paul said, wolves are coming, and wolves are here. You think a bunch of sissy men are going to protect the flock from wolves? No. You think a bunch of men doing their own thing, living life for their own purpose, doing their own, you know, fulfilling all these little immature things? No. You think they're going to protect the flock? You think they're going to protect the women and children from wolves? No. No, a band of brothers, a bunch of men are going to protect the flock. For most, you know, wolves are, they're smart. They don't even go at it alone, do they? I've seen some movies. They go at it in packs. They're scheming little jokers. And in a pack, man, they're going to come get you. If you're all alone, they don't stand a chance, a bunch of dudes like you, standing shoulder to shoulder saying, come bring it. We're going to take you out. They don't stand a chance among men, among godly men who have been given a mission, and that mission requires community. They do not stand a chance. And he says, here's how you arm yourself. Be ready, because they're going to come in with these false doctrines and these weird, they're going to try to lead people away through doctrine. Now all of a sudden, knowing the word, knowing more doctrine, reading more books like this, now all of a sudden that becomes a little bit more important. Oh, I didn't know, I just had to be a bookworm. But now I have, if part of the mission requires me to be a bookworm, I'm going to read more so I can help protect the church from false doctrine. I'm going to learn more about these guys who have come before me, these forefathers of the faith that protected the doctrine of the faith. I'm going to learn more about them now because it's part of the mission. You see how if you just give men a mission, we'll rise to the occasion. We just need to be given a vision. Look at verse 36. Through 38, after he said this, he knelt down and prayed with all of them. There was a great deal of weeping by everyone. Bunch of dudes crying. And it's okay, because they were in the mission. They were in the game. They embraced Paul and kissed him. All right, that might be the only part that might be unacceptable. Yeah, maybe it is, all right. This is the last time he's going to see him. Grieving most of all over his statement that they would never see his face again, and they escorted him to the ship. Man, this passage is Paul looking at his teammates. It's Paul looking at his fellow soldiers, the ones he went to battle with, the ones he fought alongside of, the ones he bled with, the ones he shed tears with, saying, I'm about to be taken out, but the mission is for you to keep going, keep fighting together. We have been called to this mission, to stand shoulder to shoulder, to do what Adam number one failed to do, but what Adam number two did perfectly and accomplished with all power. That same power is available to you and I to stand shoulder to shoulder with other men to do what we were created to do, which is to be on mission for God's glory by spreading His image all over the earth and to do it with others. Men, you don't need 10 points on how to have better community. You just need a vision and a mission and a purpose for your life that is bigger than yourself. And when you see how that vision and mission and purpose is bigger than yourself, you're going to look over to your right and say, I can't do this alone. And that other dude's going to say, you're right. We weren't intended to do it alone. Let's go do it together. That's what we need. Not 10 points on how to do community better, but that mission to keep in front of us, to join him in his mission of bringing glory everywhere. In the theater of war, it takes place in your personal life. You guys got to have a vision for personal holiness. And when you see that the standard of holiness is Christ himself, you're going to call other guys to say, help me, because I'm not there. You're going to see the theater of life fighting against pornography, fighting for purity, fighting against laziness, fighting for a strong work ethic, fighting against sin in every form, and not just fighting against sin, but fighting for the fruit of the Spirit within you. And how it shows up in your fight for your wife, not with your wife, for her. Fighting for her purity, washing her in the water of the Word, being the warrior pastor in your home, being a disciple-making man in the church, at work, in the neighborhood. When you see life is a fight and that God has given us a mission, we're going to do community better. Yeah, we're going to still take up the offering on church, but it's going to be a lot more. Our pastor should not be looking around saying, where are the men? He should look to his right and look to his left, shoulder to shoulder, and says, they're right here. Let's go get them. That's the mission God has called for us. And that grand, glorious, all-encompassing, inspiring vision requires community. And I think that we'll stand to meet those demands together. So I know I was supposed to share with you guys how to have better community. I just don't know how to have better community without just giving us this vision and mission God has given us through his word. The beauty of that is that we don't have to look beyond this right here to find out that what God's called us to is bigger than you and I. It's not about doing community because community is some, you know, buzzword these days. It's about fulfilling what God's called us to do, and he's never called us to do it alone. Okay? I don't know how else to finish except go take the hill together. Let's pray. Father, God, I'm so fired up. I don't know if I can go home in that car today by myself, Lord. I am so thankful, Lord, that it is you that has given us this vision for our lives that's bigger than us. It's you, God. It's Christ coming and laying out perfectly what we're called to do, how we're called to lay down our lives for others, how we're called to resist the enemy, the devil, the fighter. We're called to resist him, how we're called to embrace purity and embrace holiness, how we're called to fight for our homes, to fight for the salvation of our coworkers and our neighbors, to fight for the purity of our church. God, you laid that out in front of us. And what we need more than embracing community is to embrace the mission which will demand community. God, fill the men here with vision. And I pray, Jesus, that you would protect your church through these men. You would grow your church through these men. You would reach this area with the gospel of Christ through these men. I pray that this church changes because of these band of brothers standing shoulder to shoulder for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.